And joining me right now here on the phone line, as he does every Tuesday, this guy does a great job with Brevard Sports Network. He's my main man, Alan Slaughter-Zinsky. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about you?
Hey, I talked to you on Friday. We recapped round one of the draft. Did you watch, and there's no wrong answers here, did you watch Saturday and Sunday as well?
Partly, I guess. It was strange. It was a hard draft to watch, I thought. I really enjoyed the first round. I got into Friday a little bit. And then not so much Saturday, Mark. I just didn't.
I understand. I get it. I'm the same way. You and me love the NFL. I watch religiously Thursday night. I start watching Friday. And then I start watching basketball after a while. Where I look, it's all a crapshoot after a while. That's how I look at it, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I mean, it really has become a spectacle for television, especially, Mark, on the latter portion of Friday and all day Saturday with the guest celebrity pickers. They've got influence pickers. I mean, Mark, it does at points, if you're a true fan of this draft, it become unbearable to watch. I mean, gone are the days where you would take your magazine to a local watering hole, sit there, and watch the draft religiously with paper spread everywhere. That doesn't happen anymore, and it doesn't appear as if it ever will.
They said Detroit had almost a million people showing up to that draft for a couple days. I mean, the whole town is there. Do you feel like it's time here in the state of Florida we should get the NFL draft in one of our cities?
Yeah, it'd be kind of wild, wouldn't it? I'd be interested. Wouldn't it be wild to hold it at, like, Disney World? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just to see all those people at, like, the Magic Kingdom dressed like that and just to see how something like that would come out.
Well, we've done the Pro Bowl at Wild World of Sports and at Camping World Stadium. Let me just say this, partner.
My last trip down there for the Pro Bowl, if they don't get that parking situation fixed, I don't know if my heart can handle it.
You can't do it, huh? You can't.
Well, weren't you with me when I almost killed the guy who tried to steal our parking spot?
I don't think that was me. That might have been someone else. What happened?
I mean, I was absolutely, I think it was with you. We were trying to find a parking spot down there. And I don't think it was the Pro Bowl we were at, but I think we went down for, like,
practice.
The Pro Bowl, and we were in the parking lot, and the people didn't know how to park the cars, and I lost my ever-loving mind.
There's more action in that story than any Pro Bowl game I've ever watched, Alan. What you just said.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Mm. So, here's my question overall. What teams do you think won the NFL draft? And I know it's one of those things where we have to find out the real answer in 3 years. But what team stood out to you like, all right, they had a good draft?
Man, the Philadelphia Eagles. Wow. What a job Howie Roseman did. Especially if you look at what he did on Saturday. He pulls off five. I think the Eagles had a record 9 trades during draft week. They get Quinion Mitchell. He falls to them in first round. And then he pulls off a trade to position the Eagles to take Cooper DeJean in the second round. You look at what the Dallas Cowboys did. To me, you look at that division, and you look at what the Eagles did. You look at what the Commanders did. Listen, I thought the Commanders did a really nice job. Not only do they get Jaden Daniels, but they add a playmaker on offense and defense. They used 8 picks after Daniels to plug holes along the defensive front in their secondary. They get a good tight end and build up the interior offensive line. To me, it felt like the Eagles and the Commanders got better and the Dallas Cowboys did not. And a lot of people are going to give you this opinion because it's not sexy to pick offensive linemen like the Dallas Cowboys did. Look, they made a lot of great additions. It's going to help improve the quality and depth of that offensive line. And if anybody in this league can make picks on the offensive line, it's the Dallas Cowboys. But you look at what other teams in the division did, and it's hard to see how the Cowboys got better than the Eagles and the Commanders, because I just don't think that they did.
Though that is your gut reaction. You went with that.
Yeah, and I saw Arizona did a nice job with all the picks that they had. Listen, you know, last year it was the Houston Texans that had 11 picks. But, I mean, if you look at what the Arizona Cardinals did, you know, I mean, listen, I thought they did a great job. I mean, they get an instant guy that's a 1,000-yard receiver, hit the X button and let him go, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at what they did in the second round. I like the edge rusher out of Missouri and Darius Robinson. I thought they got an outstanding value their second pick in the first round, the edge rusher down at 27th. And then you look at Max Melton, the cornerback out of Rutgers. Excellent pick. I thought the Arizona Cardinals really did a nice job of using their picks. And we'll see how it turns out for them.
This is the question I keep circling back to. If you're a quarterback, wide receiver, offensive lineman, and you're on the fence, should I go to the draft or should I go back to school? After what we saw in that first round, do you just tell players, like especially quarterback, all right, go to the draft. They're going to take you now.
Of the 257 players that were selected, Mark, you know, what were the three positions you gave me again?
Quarterback, offensive line, and wide receiver.
11 quarterbacks taken in the draft, 35 wide receivers, and the third one again?
Offensive linemen.
You look at the offensive line between center, guard, and tackle, 55 taken. Enter the draft.
Yeah, that is a great point. I thought of you where I'm driving around this past weekend, and I'm listening to national sports radio, and the number one topic is Michael Penix Jr. And then how the general manager is giving his thoughts, Kirk Cousins has given his thoughts. Is this going to be a soap opera till we get to kickoff week one?
No, because Kirk Cousins is a professional, and Raheem Morris came out and said Kirk Cousins doesn't have to look over his shoulder. Now, I know typically that's the kiss of death, right? Mm. When a coach or a general manager comes out and says that a quarterback doesn't have to look over his shoulder. But no, I don't think so. I genuinely don't think the Atlanta Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. to replace Kirk Cousins at any point in time this season, unless he gets hurt. I think it's not so much the pick of Penix Jr. that bothers everybody. I just simply think it's where. And I think if you look immediately at the quarterback draft class of next year, we'll see, but it may not turn out to be a bad selection. You know, you and I discussed on Friday, Mark,
yeah,
about why the Falcons would do this. Well, I went back and looked, and Kirk Cousins is guaranteed money. Even though he's got a 4-year deal, his guaranteed money runs out in 2025. So theoretically, Kirk Cousins is only on a 2-year deal there.
We're going to find out. I got this email the other day that the schedule release is going to come out here in, you know, kind of the early, maybe around May 9th or 10th. And then we'll know the schedule. Are you going to be ready for this?
Well, you know, just hold your breath because they're going to be, next thing you know, they're going to be holding that in other cities as well.
Yes.
And, yeah, so already made it into a thing on social media where, you know, what team has the best social media release of their schedule. Last year I thought it was the Titans. That was a pretty good one.
That
you sent
good.
Me that one. But, yeah, but – Well, yeah,
You're ready.
The NFL, until they get to week one, everything is a spectacle.
All right, I've been wanting to bring this up with you. I don't know if it's going to bring pain to your heart. What happened to your Capitals, buddy, where they got swept by the Rangers?
That's no surprise, man. I mean, the Capitals shouldn't have been in the postseason to begin with. How the NHL, that part of the National Hockey League, ought to be embarrassed of themselves that they let the Washington Capitals into the playoffs at that point. Listen, the Capitals were the first team since 1994 to go into the NHL playoffs with a negative goal differential. They had no business being there. The Rangers outclassed them, and it clearly showed.
Ovechkin, I don't think, scored a point. Look, he's an all-timer. Hall of Famer, first ballot. But as the windows close where it's like, okay, maybe it's time to start retiring.
Ovechkin still scored over 20 goals this year. He's still going to put some butts in seats in Washington. Still got a record to chase. He still can pass Gretzky in goals, which he can do next year. So one more year, and then I'll agree with you.
So beat the record, and then he has nothing left. That's it.
And then get out.
Is your finest moment thinking of your Capitals, Alan Slutterzinski with Brevard Sports Network. When you were there, Game 7 in Tampa, and the Capitals won to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's the second. When they actually, even though I wasn't there, when they won the Stanley Cup, it's a moment you'll never forget. When your team wins a championship, when the Chicago Bears finally hoist the Lombardi, how old were you in 85?
3 years old?
Yeah, so when the Chicago Bears hoist a Stanley Cup, or when a Lombardi, that will be your finest sports moment.
All right, when that happens, we'll be in the old folks' home together, and I'll be in a wheelchair. I'll be like, what is it, Sister Jean? I'll be 100 years old when it finally happens.
Buddy, buddy, for you and I's sake, I hope it happens a lot quicker than that.
What's cool about your story, though? So you're there in Tampa. It was a Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You win. So your team wins, but you're there as a reporter. So you're at the post-game news conference, and doesn't Ovechkin show up in the room, and you start interviewing him?
It's Ovechkin, and it's Braden Holtby, it's TJ Oshie, awesome. It's Barry Trotz. And the individual, I was there with Gina. Mm-hmm. And so I had taken her, and that was her first time. And I don't know whether she was more just in awe of the fact that they won, the game. She was a huge hockey fan, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether she was in awe of the fact that they won Game 7 or she was in the locker room.
It's a weird feeling where you're at the game and then you go to that post-game news conference and they're just talking like – it's one of those moments where like, oh, yeah, they're just normal people, but they're super famous at the same time.
You know, one of the craziest moments is when I was at the Tampa Bay New York Rangers series covering it. And as the report, we were all in the locker room gathered around Steven Stamkos. And I hear, and I cannot remember which Tampa Bay player it was, screaming and cursing at the top of his lungs, "Hey, you so-and-so, get your so-and-so off the logo." And everybody's looking around, and I'm looking around, and it was me. He was talking to me. He was screaming at me. I was accidentally standing on the logo in the locker room, and I looked at him, and I said, "Well, why don't you guys put something around it? There's 150 of us in here, for goodness sake."
I've never heard this story before.
Oh, it was. I can't remember. I'll text you his name. It was the big tall goon for them the Lightning, who had played for the Rangers previously and then came to the Lightning. He is literally. I thought he was going to punch me, Mark.
Does his jersey say "Big Tall Goon"? Is that what it says?
It was unbelievable. I'm like looking around. I'm like, who is this knucklehead screaming at? And it was me.
That's a great story. That really is. The Lightning, speaking of them, well, they got knocked out last night by the Florida Panthers. They won two Stanley Cups, the core of this team. Does the window close for them, or what happens with the Lightning then?
It's getting to be that time. I also wonder how much time John Cooper has left. I don't know. We'll see what the Lightning do this offseason, but it's been one hell of a run for them.
You know what it is? I'm sorry I asked that question. You're still thinking about that guy yelling at you in the locker room. I'm sorry.
No. I still couldn't believe it happened. And then I was scared to death, by the way, because I thought he was going to punch me after I yelled back at him.
That would have been a hell of a story.
I know you're not supposed to step on the logo, but there literally were 150 of us in this locker room, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one standing on it.
That's a good point. I think the Panthers are going to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. I know everyone's hyping the Rangers, but that's every year. Some New York team. No. I think Florida Panthers are on a mission again, and I think they're going to get it done. We'll find out. We're here with Alan Slutterzinski, Brevard Sports Network. All right, here's the $64,000 question for you. There's no wrong answers. Can the Magic win this series now? Best of three against Cleveland after they took games 3 and 4.
Yes, I think they can. I think what games 3 and 4 did for them was it truly gave them the confidence to believe that, you know what, we can beat this team. And if we play our game, listen, if they play 75% of what they played in that third quarter on Friday night, they're going to go to Cleveland and win. I mean, if they can, listen, it's hard. It's going to be hard to duplicate that third quarter on Friday night again in this series. But my goodness gracious, Mark, if they can give any portion of that throughout all four quarters, I think the Magic have the confidence now that they were in search of in games one and two. And what about Franz? I mean, unbelievable to think that this guy, if I heard this correctly, did he not outscore the entire Cleveland team in the third quarter?
I was there. You're absolutely right. So I was there game four on Saturday. The Cavaliers were leading at halftime 60-51. And you're like, okay, we got a ball game. Magic have to make plays. In the third quarter, Alan, they outscored Cleveland 37-10. Franz outscored Cleveland 12-10. He came out, Alan, he came out and hit three straight buckets, two inside, then a big three-pointer. He looks like he has the potential to become a superstar in the NBA. I'm not kidding. He really made those plays, Alan.
Yeah, and I thought you would be there. And it was incredible. And I think it's just what the doctor ordered. It's definitely going to be an interesting game five tonight. And I think, I think the Magic do one thing really, really well that bodes well for any NBA team this time of the year, and that's play defense. I don't think the Cavaliers, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they've scored over 100 points in any game in this series. And, you know, when you can do that and you can get hot shooting the ball like they did, good things are going to happen. And I believe that because of their youth and inexperience, they just needed to know that they could do this. Well, they've done it twice in a row now. So, yes, I think they're perfectly capable of going and winning game five. And if they win game five, they'll close out the Cavs Friday night at home.
Are you busy Friday night with any other things going on?
No, because as luck would have it, everything district-wise ends Thursday, and the state tournaments don't begin until next week. So Friday is actually open for me.
Well, I'm going to the game Friday. Win or lose tonight, whatever happens, you might have to join me, buddy. You might have to get in the car with me. We might have to go because that is going to be wild on Friday.
I think it's going to be a terrific experience and a long – when's the last time they won a playoff series? 2011?
Think about this. I've been here since 2013. Saturday was the first time I saw them win a playoff game. Think about that. In 11 years, that's the first time I saw a playoff win for the franchise.
Yeah, no, I was here in 2011. I remember that. I don't remember it fondly, and you know, like it was yesterday, because, well, it wasn't.
You're thinking.
You might be right, man. I mean, okay, I'll be in touch with you.
So the stat is Shaq and Penny, first time going to the playoffs, they lose. First time Dwight Howard goes to playoffs, they lose. This core could do something that those other great teams did not, is actually win a playoff series in their first time out. That's what's wild. I think we're going seven. That's my pick. I could see them losing tonight, then winning game six, and then it's do or die game seven next week. That's what I see happening.
I wouldn't want to see them get in that scenario because I don't think that benefits a young team at all. But again, I think you'll know right away tonight what you're going to get out of the Orlando Magic.
Let's end with this here with Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. All right, LeBron James. He got eliminated last night. It was a wild game. Ended about 12:45 in the morning. Denver moves on.
Parts of it.
Jamal Murray hits the game winner with about a second ago. LeBron's played for about, 21 years, which is insane. What would you do if you're LeBron now? Would you come back to the Lakers? Would you go with another team? What would you do exactly?
I don't know, man. That's a great question because I watched his press conference last night, and he's talking about his daughter playing volleyball. You know, because I always watch the NBA tonight with Chuck and Shaq and Kenny. I love the show. And I watched that press conference. And, it's funny you asked me this question because I was wondering the same thing. What the hell do you do if you're him, right? I mean, You got your great, you got your best teammate you've ever had in your entire career in AD, right? Everybody else can't do anything around you, though.
Yes.
I don't know what you do. And the Lakers are in a very, very precarious offseason coming up. Jeannie Buss has got some moves to make. I believe they got, is it D'Angelo Russell's contract they're going to have to try to figure out? Is that the one contract they're going to have? Yeah, they're going to have to figure out what they need to do with his contract. Look, if they can't find a way out of that, they're stuck. They're stuck. And what do you do? What do you do? I mean, I don't know what you do if you're LeBron. You're certainly playing at a level that's MVP-ish. You know, I mean, he had a great year, Mark.
Yes.
Certainly, I don't know what you do. I honestly don't. I mean, what are you going? You're going to look at the Heat. You know, the Heat. I don't know. That's a great question.
It's going to be a great topic moving forward. And you think about, he's 39. He'll be 40 in December. And he was averaging like 29, 9, and 8. Just think about that. No, every other player at his age, if you're still playing, you're scoring like 5 a game. And your body's falling apart. That's what's like. He might be, and this is where the debate comes in, he might be the greatest athlete. Just the body holding up for so long, I think he might be one of the best athletes ever in the history of sports.
Well, I think you might be right. So you look at guys like Joel Embiid, who can't clip his fingernails without missing 2 games, right? I mean, it's wild. Yeah, I think it's a great question. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what LeBron James does.
What about you're supposed to play with your son? What happened to that dream? What happened?
Well, I think the dream is, I don't think it so much has to do with LeBron and longevity, other than the fact that the setback that he had, and is the kid actually going to play in the NBA?
I don't know.
Is he good enough to play in the NBA?
He's only like 6'1". Probably not. We'll see. Yeah. Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. My man, thank you for your help and have a great day.
Mark, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, man.